Amen. It's good to be back with you guys, Christ Community Church. Thank you for welcoming us back. For those of you guys that don't know who I am, maybe I'm just a more in the legend. Maybe you've never even seen a picture of me. My name is Kyle, and I had the privilege and honor. Stuart, you're wrong. I was here for 5 years. Not four. It's okay. And I only know that because it was 5 years to the day that we were actually sent out from here. In about 2 or 3 weeks, it's going to be the one-year anniversary of us moving to Pittsburgh to help plant Vintage Church. But for 5 absolutely wonderful, joy-filled, privileged years, the Lord just blessed myself, my wife, and now my 2 kids with just the overwhelming privilege of being a part of this church family. And for walking through so many things with this church family. And to tell you the truth, guys, you guys are still family to us, and we are just thrilled to be here today. Christ Community Church, if you're visiting or if you're new around here, you're still figuring it out, Christ Community Church is the church that I would still go to if I lived in Charlotte and I wasn't a pastor. So full disclaimer, I don't have to tell you that because I'm not one of the pastors here anymore, but there is something special about this church body. And if you've stepped in here this morning, you're in a special place, a place that the Lord moves. He's real and the people are real as well. And so I am thrilled to be here. Christ Community Church is a strong church in this city, and they've been a strong fighter in our corner with Vintage Church in Pittsburgh. The Lord has done so much in less than a year. My phrase is, we've just been keeping up with what he's been doing. And so we thought we were going to move up there and plant one church, but we actually launched on Easter Sunday with 2 locations. I don't recommend trying to do that, but it was God's idea. It wasn't ours. And then on top of that, there wasn't really a network to plant new churches in the city, and so we were kind of tasked with doing that as well. And so we're no longer just planting Vintage Church. We've got 2 locations of Vintage Church, and Lord willing, we'll have a third one in the next year or two. But we've also been networking and just mobilizing a team to plant churches all over the city of Pittsburgh. We don't care if they're called Vintage or not, although we kind of like the name. The Lord is bringing in people into the city to do that, and he's planning ahead. We've got guys and their families that are currently at other churches spending 2 years kind of getting ready, and they're not even planning to move to Pittsburgh for 2 years from now, but they're in our pipeline, and Lord willing, we're going to help them plant a church in a different part of the city that the Lord needs it. And so he has been doing amazing things in Pittsburgh, but from what I've seen from a distance, from what I've heard, he's been doing amazing things here too. I mean, I cannot tell you. I've seen so many new faces in just the past year that I've been gone. There are so many new people, and that is a wonderful, wonderful blessing to just watch from a distance the Lord bless a people that I love dearly. And you guys have loved us dearly and loved us well. And so we are just thrilled to be back in Charlotte, but at the same time, I'm already not used to the humidity, you know? And this is the guy that was born and raised in Tampa, Florida, okay? But there is a different category for, you know, when you leave the church building in Pittsburgh in the middle of winter during one of the biggest cold snaps, and you get in your car and it's only 8 p.m. and your temperature on your car says -8 degrees, there's just not a category for that. And it's not cold at that point, it's just pain. That's what your body feels. But it was fun, and it's great being back here. My wife, I think, is in the nursery with our 2 kids because nap time is approaching for our youngest. And so I want to show you a picture of my family real quick if you don't know us. There we go. All right, so that was just a couple of weeks ago at Niagara Falls. We took a little family vacation. We went to the Canada side of Niagara Falls. That's me. Beckham is in my arms. He is 3.5 years old, going on 16. And then that's my wife, Bree, and then that's Summit right there. Summit's going to be 2 years old in October. My little bambinos, as I call them, the living room carpet is called the Thunderdome, officially, in our house. And we have a lot of wrestling matches, and Beckham likes to be the Hulk. And so, you know, Hulk smash, trust me, I've gotten more black eyes after parenthood than pre-parenthood. And so, church planting has just grown us a lot in so many ways. And, I want to share a little bit of what's been going on in the past year, just spiritually for us too. And hopefully that would encourage you. It's grown, just my capacity. I'm like, my job title changes all the time, and it really means nothing because it's kind of an all hands on deck mentality, but it's like, we're going to do what needs done for the glory of God. And so it's really taught us a flexibility, as well as it's trained me to do things that I'm not naturally gifted in, but just, hey, you're going to figure this out because it needs done. And so it's kind of fun. No week is ever the same. We set a timeline and the Lord changes it, and we just try to be flexible and faithful and obedient to Him, and just joyful of the work that He's doing. And then on top of that, it's grown just our marriage as a couple as well. We are going to celebrate 9 years of marriage in less than a month. And so we're really excited about that. And the Lord just keeps bringing us to new levels of richness and depth. And so it's just unexpected ways that He's grown us. And so couples in the room, do you have a song? You know, it's like, this is your song as a couple. You know what I'm talking about? Where it comes on the radio and you're like, oh, this is our song, you know? And sometimes you don't even need to say the words, you know? You just kind of look at each other with that smile that only she gets, you know? And those David Hasselhoff eyes that every guy thinks he's got, you know? And that song comes on the radio and you're like, oh, this is great. Now, so every couple in the room, married or not, you've got a song, right? You've got a song. And if you don't, guys, you need to get a song, okay? But, you know, this song might date you a little bit, so you might not want to tell everybody about it, but maybe in the room you're like, okay, Faithfully by Journey, that's our song. That's the song we fell in love with, and it was playing on, like, the new hits radio station, not the oldies. Maybe some of you guys, you fell in love in the early 2000s, and so you really won't want to tell anybody your song because it's probably by Enrique Iglesias, you know? I can be your hero, baby, you know, and you're like, why did I ever say that, you know? Or guys that you're like, it's Backstreet Boys, you know, like, where you're like, she thinks that's our song. I'm not claiming it, but she thinks it's our song, right? And, you know, so this song may have even been played at your wedding, right? And guys, maybe even against your will, but whatever she wanted that day, she got. And whenever this song comes on the radio, it just brings you back. It just brings you back to the things that you remember fondly, to the love that you had, and the foundation of your relationship, and you needed to hear it again. The song comes on the radio, and you hear the words, and you're like, I needed to hear that again. You may even reflect inwardly and admit to yourself that there have been times in your relationship where you've not necessarily lived up to those words. But now hearing them, you're motivated to want to. Songs are powerful. And pretty much every church across the country right now are singing about 3 to 4 songs. It's kind of industry standard. These congregations are lifting these songs, these words up to music, and people are praising the one true God. There's a guy at one of our, we have two locations. We've got a west location, which I kind of live close to, and it's on the west side of the city. And then we've got a city location. It's smack dab in the middle of the city, and it's up on Mount Washington. It just has the best view in the world. You look right into all the rivers coming together in the city right there, and it's so cool. And there's this guy, Wayne. He's an older gentleman that comes to our city location. This is the guy that's always talking about who he's sharing Christ with throughout the week. But during our worship time as a church at Vintage Church, Wayne kind of moves quietly to the back of the room because he's got some space to do some stuff. And Wayne is lifting his hands and he's dancing and he's singing and all that kind of stuff. And afterwards we're like, Wayne, man, I love that about you. I love it. He goes, well, I'm going to war back there. He goes, that's my time to go to war for everyone in this room and for myself. And so these songs are meaningful to us. There are times that even the songs that we sing in church as believers, maybe it's on a particular Sunday, or maybe it's a Monday morning in our car on the way to work. We hear this worship song, and we almost have a hard time singing along. Because we know maybe we're in a season of our walk with Christ where we're really having a hard time living up to those words that we're singing, but we needed to hear it. We needed that reminder. And so, Christ community, I understand you've been spending your summer studying the Psalms in Scripture today, and these ancient poems, these ancient worship songs are powerful reminders to us of who God is, and who we are if we have a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. The man who wrote so many of them, King David, he probably wrote them because he needed to hear them in order to be reminded of the truth and the power of God's love for him and everything that that powerful love implicates on his life in eternity. And we need to hear that too. So let's dive into Psalm 16, Picking up in verse 1, a psalm that's meant a lot to me in the past year of my life. Verse 1, protect me, God, for I take refuge in you. Okay, so stop right there. Protect me, God, for I take refuge in you. Okay, something is wrong. David writing this opening line is letting God and the reader, us, know that something is wrong. Now, I know I had to consult a lot of commentaries and a lot of dead languages to figure that little nugget of truth out. But I'm telling you here, Dave from the original Dave Matthews Band says, God, something's wrong. I need you. To be honest, the moment Bree and I put our yes on the table to go and help plant Vintage Church, Satan put a target on our back. Even our vision trip before we ever moved up there, just to kind of get to know the city, we as a couple had never experienced so much attack and so much just spiritual oppression. It was thick. It was dark. We could step into it. We could feel it. The need for Jesus in a place like that and the need for us to stay close to him because Satan didn't want it to happen. He was throwing everything at us in hopes to get us discouraged. Satan was just hoping for us to feel defeated, and I'm sure he was hoping that we would just chicken out. But it hasn't really stopped either. The target hasn't just been us either. It's been our entire staff team that has come together to form Vintage Church Pittsburgh. Satan wants to discourage us. He wants to tell us lies. He wants to get in our heads and mess with our heads. He wants to make things hard. He wants us to give up. He wants us to remain distracted with our circumstances instead of focused on the Lord. He wants us to feel isolated, and he wants us to feel divided. Every single one of our staff families has experienced just attack from the outside constantly because Satan wants to distract us from what God sent us there to do, and he wants us to feel alone in it. Every one of our staff families has experienced just illness take out the whole household and then move to that staff family house and then come back to this house. Every single one of our families has had house problems. Mine was a construction zone for months because we discovered mold about a month after we moved into it, and it was making our kids sick. Every one of us has had car troubles. It's just nonstop. I'm not telling you this so that you can feel bad for us, though, because let me sandwich that with a positive thing here. We are exactly where God wants us, and we love that, and Satan hates it. We've had to wage war daily by staying in God's word, staying connected to each other, and staying in prayer. And I'll tell you the truth, I've listened to more worship music in my car the past year than I ever have collectively in my entire life. Why? Because I need God daily so much. Because I cannot do this alone, and I cannot do this apart from his power. So this crucial practice, this every day, I need to start in God's word and I need to start in prayer because I need to be reminded that Christ died for an undeserving sinner like me, and because of that, I'm his. And I'll always be his, no matter how many times I stumble, no matter what obstacles I might experience in life, no matter what kind of attack Satan decides to throw from the outside, I'm reminded that I've got total joy because Christ has had victory in my life, and he'll have it for all eternity. David's saying, something is wrong, God. I need you. You are my refuge. So maybe today you're crying out to God saying, God, something is wrong. Something is wrong. This life isn't as it should be or could be. This world is not as it should be. It's not as you created it. Something's wrong, God. Something's wrong with my marriage. Something's wrong with my health and I can't do anything about it. Something's wrong with my finances. God, something's wrong with my children. Seriously, God, something is wrong with them. Something's wrong with my kids. Something's wrong with my job. Something's wrong with my relationships and something's wrong with my finances. Something's wrong with my goals. I never seem to meet them. Something's wrong with my heart, God. What am I feeling right now? And something's wrong with my mind. What am I thinking? But God, I don't find refuge in any of those things. I find refuge, I find security, and I find safety in you because you've already had the victory. You did what nobody could ever do for a person that didn't deserve it like me. So God, you've got me. I find my refuge in you alone. God, in you, I'm safe. If you're taking notes, write that down. In you, I am safe. I turn to you for safety above all other things that could possibly offer safety, because you are the safest refuge for me. In obeying you and following you and trusting you is the safest place that I can find myself in life. Picking up in verse 2, I said to the Lord, you are my Lord, and I have nothing good besides you. As for the holy people who are in the land, they are the noble ones, and all my delight is in them. Now, he's not saying, oh, God, I love these people so much, I put all my faith in them. It's saying, God, you have assembled a pretty good crew of people who love you around me, and that is such an encouragement and inspiration to my life. Picking up in verse 4, the sorrows of those who take another god for themselves will multiply. I will not pour out their drink offerings of blood, and I will not even speak their names with my lips. You are where my allegiance lies, is what he's saying. God, you are where my allegiance lies. I'm loyal to you. And God, you are responsible for me. You take care of me, and you always have, and you always will. So God, you are my treasure. Nothing else compares to knowing you, God. Nothing else is worth chasing apart from you. And even the good things in my life, God, those things actually came from you, and so they're only good if they just point me back to you. Yeah, it's nice to have this house. Yeah, it's nice to have this vacation. Yeah, it's nice. It's nice having that car. You know, it's nice being able to have that kind of Christmas for my family. And it's really nice being able to spend money on the people that I love. But God, what's it worth if my worship and adoration of you doesn't increase as a result of having it? So God, you are the treasure. And God, in you, I am secure. I am secure because I'm confident in you. I'm confident in who you are and what I have in you. Lord, you are my portion and my cup of blessing, verse 5 says. Have you ever been to one of those Brazilian steakhouses? Kyle's back in the house. I'm going to give a food illustration. Have you ever been to one of those Brazilian steakhouses? In Charlotte, Chima was my favorite. If you've never been there, I recommend it. They walk around. It's like you're on a cruise for a night, you know? They walk around. There's like a million people serving you. And there's these guys that are dressed in these puffy pirate pants. It's really cool. And it's not giant skewers. It's like giant swords full of grilled meat. It's amazing. And the best part is it's all you can eat. And so there's this one guy. His job is to carry around the filet mignon. And he's walking around asking if you want some. And then there's this guy carrying around just the ribeye. And then there's this guy that's carrying around the cedar plank of grilled swordfish. And they come up to your table and ask, do you want some more? And you're like, yes, please, thank you. And then there's this poor guy whose job it is in the restaurant to carry around, amongst all these other people that are carrying these wonderful things, his job is to carry around like the grilled chicken legs. And the smoked sausage that I swear is like the leftovers of yesterday's steak that they just grind up to like not, you know, have a loss. And so this guy is coming up to your, you know, and he's like, would you like some chicken legs, sir? And his sword's always full because no one wants it. Would you like some chicken legs? And I'm like, why would I waste space on grilled chicken when there's filet mignon on my plate wrapped in bacon, mind you? And it's all I can eat. Why would I want that? And that's exactly what David is saying here. God, you are my portion, my cup of blessing. There's this feast that's been laid out for me where God is the host, and they've got all kinds of meat and they've got all kinds of wine. And the host that's sitting next to me starts to fill my cup with the reserve blend. Because the host is my God and my heavenly Father, he pours me the best because he's the best. So why would I want anything else? And God, in you, I am satisfied. I'm satisfied. You hold my future. Picking back up in verse 5, God, you hold my future. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Indeed, I have a beautiful inheritance. This isn't prosperity gospel, though, ladies and gentlemen. It's not the whole, hey, if I sign up for Team Jesus, then God makes everything I touch turn to gold in this life. Now, no. The truth is that in this life, I will have trials and troubles. Jesus promises it. And that these trials and troubles are sometimes even let in by my God, because he wants to use them to produce this godly character according to his word in Romans chapter 5. God will produce a richness in your soul that nothing in this world can take away, nothing in this world can match, and it is worth it, ladies and gentlemen. Absolutely worth it. The God who gave everything he had to save me. He is the treasure. And in him I'm satisfied. So the boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Why? Because he gives me the keys to his eternal kingdom. He's gone to prepare a place for me so that I know whatever hardship I experience in this life, it's nothing compared to the great undeserved reward that I get in eternity. And the fact that he's with me along the way, how good do I have it? Because while the world is busy wrecking their lives to build a life on this earth, I have found life in its fullest in Jesus Christ. And so now I want to go about telling the world that he died for a sinner like me so that I can be forgiven and I can know him personally and live for him all of my days. And then I want to go and be with him in paradise forever after those days have ended. Because God and you, I'm set up for success. The boundary lines have fallen for me in very pleasant places. He has given me the best plot of land, eternity. It's not temporary. And the success that he sets me up for is not the same empty success that this world offers. Yeah, that same empty success that even I'm tempted to buy into when things aren't going well for me in my own perspective sometimes. But God sets me up for eternity with him, where the things that I thought were a big deal are now small because God made it all. Verse 7, I will bless the Lord who counsels me. He counsels me. Even at night when my thoughts trouble me, I will always let the Lord guide me because he's at my right hand and I will not be shaken. Pastor Jeff Campbell's song selection was absolutely phenomenal today. Ministered to my soul, and the words are more real than ever that God goes to battle for us. And so I'm going to build my life on him alone because nothing else can shake me. So I will always let the Lord guide me because he's at my right hand and I will not be shaken because God and you, I am shepherded. I'm shepherded. You know what? Here's the cool thing. He's always faithful to tell me the truth. He is always faithful to tell me the truth because the devil and even myself will tell me lies. Will mess with my head, cloud my perspective. He will discourage me, will distract me from the mission at hand. But God is always faithful to tell me the truth. And pick me up and walk with me. He gives me the wise counsel that I need in order to live the life that brings him glory and brings peace to myself. He's the good shepherd, according to Scripture. Verse 9, therefore, because of all this, my heart is glad. And my whole being rejoices. My body also rests securely. For you will not abandon me to Sheol. You will not allow your faithful one to see decay. The Old Testament Sheol is likened to hell. And hell is so bad because God's not there. You will not abandon me to Sheol, and you will not allow your faithful one to see decay. You reveal the path of life to me. In your presence is abundant joy. That's important. We'll talk about that in a second. In your presence is abundant joy, and at your right hand are eternal pleasures. So God in you, I am sent. I can live my life for you. You give me purpose. You've given me a path, and I can have abundant joy because on that path, I'm in your presence. Living out the mission now that every child you saved has been given, I'm going to tell and model to others about the wonderful life, forgiveness, love, grace, through Christ's work on the cross that I now have as his. I'm his kid. And there's nothing I can do that'll ever make him love me any less. It's funny, Beckham, he's my 3 and a half going on 16-year-old, so we have some pretty deep conversations, mostly about the Avengers. It's funny because I always tell him these things that I just want them to stick in his brain. So I tell him all the time, Beckham, I love you, buddy. I love you so much. I will always love you. I love you no matter what. And even when he's like behaving right now, I'm like, hey, did you know that even when you disobey, I love you? Did you know that? Do you know that even when you do something like really mean to your brother, do you know that I still love you the same? And I tell him all these things because I want to model for him, just give him a little taste of what a future relationship with a Heavenly Father is like when he comes to know Jesus Christ as his personal Lord and Savior. But I'm always telling him these things. And here's an interesting thing that he's been doing lately to just test that, is when he's been disciplined for something and we have the talk and all that kind of stuff, and he goes, "Daddy, do you still love me?" He wants to know. He wants to know that what I've told him his whole life is true. "Daddy, do you still love me?" And that just, I delight in those conversations because I just get to lavish my love on him afterwards, because God is the good shepherd to me. "Therefore, my heart is glad, my whole being rejoices, my body rests securely. For you will not abandon me to Sheol. You will not allow your faithful one to see decay. You reveal the path of life to me, and in your presence is abundant joy. And at your right hand are eternal pleasures. So God, in you I am sent to tell the world about your goodness." Why? Because you're a good God. Now, my senior pastor at Vintage Church, his name is Rob Wilton, he says this, but he knows that he didn't make it up, so I have every right to steal this. "True peace isn't found in the absence of troubles, but in the presence of Jesus. True peace isn't found in the absence of troubles, but in the presence of Jesus." So maybe you've been crying out lately, "God, something is wrong. God, I'm under so much attack. God, something's wrong. Something's wrong with my marriage. Something's wrong with my finances. Something's wrong with my health. Something's wrong with my heart right now. God, something's wrong. I'm not going to run to these other things for the appearance of safety. God, I'm going to run to you for the reality of safety, because you are my refuge. So no matter what happens, I am safe with Jesus, because he died for me and I've surrendered to him." So maybe today you needed to hear an ancient worship song today that we call Psalm 16, penned by a guy named David, who started as a shepherd boy who God made into a king. He experienced blessing, but he also experienced plenty of trouble and heartache, and he also experienced plenty of stumbling and sin in his own life and heart, but he also experienced God's faithfulness no matter what. That no matter how faithful or faithless or unfaithful David ever was, God was still faithful. So David knew that God was his refuge. And maybe we needed to hear that today. In God, we're safe, we're secure, we're satisfied, we're set up for success, we're shepherded, and we're sent to tell other people about what we've got. Now today, maybe you simply needed to hear that for an encouragement. Maybe you've been under attack, and maybe the Lord is saying, "I think you've been really distracted lately, and you need to run to me. You need to place your focus back on me, because Satan's been throwing everything after you, and you've been running to things that are just the illusion of safety, but I need you to run to me because I'm good." Maybe you needed to hear that today, and maybe today, right now you're feeling, "I have no idea what you're talking about. I don't even have a category for what you're talking about, because I don't think I know this Jesus." Maybe you related to one of the amazing testimonies from one of those two young ladies in the baptismal pool. Church, that is strong. That's when you hear that testimony, you're like, there are saved people out there, but then there are saved people out there. They know that they are God's forever, and he's got them, and that is so encouraging. That is so encouraging for me to hear. Man, praise God. Maybe you need to meet this Jesus today, and you can. It's not something magical that happens, and it's not something that you have to do this religious process and all. It's simply a conversation between you and God in your heart. And it just tells him the truth. "God, I've done so much to mess up my life that I'm tired of running my own life. And all that messing up has just offended you, because it goes against how you designed me to live. And God, I want to surrender my life to you. Here, you take over. I'm yours. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. Thank you for giving me this forgiveness and love and grace that I don't deserve. I want to live for you for the rest of my days." Maybe that's you today. I'm going to call the band back up and we're going to pray. And there's a big, great space in the front of this stage right here that you're going to see people just come and get on their knees. And they're just going to have a conversation with the Lord, whatever that's about, whatever the Lord's working on you and your heart. And there's probably going to be people that stand at the corners of the stage for you to talk to. If you need to talk to somebody about something or get prayed for, maybe you don't even have the words to say yourself, but you need someone to just stand in the gap for you. And maybe you've never known Jesus and you'd just like to know more about him today. That's for you today, and I want to invite you to come. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much because you are a good God. God, you're the definition of good. And yes, attack comes from the outside. Jesus Christ, when he walked this earth and did ministry, he promised that this life would not be easy, and he promised, yes, attack would come, but take heart because there's comfort in that attack. There's comfort in those trials because that means that Christ is also at work. And he conquered death, he conquered sin forever, something that no one else could do. And so we can stand firm in him that he's the only safety we've got. So God, thank you for being that for us. God, you are our refuge and you are who we sing these praises to in this song. Amen.